Over the last 15 years of development on autonomous vehicles, if there is one figure who has been there on the ground getting his palms filthy with engine grease, breathing carbon monoxide exhaust and burning himself with electronic solder to solve each little problem as it comes up, it is Chris Urmson. The technical lead of the Carnegie Mellon University teams that competed in the three robot car challenges staged by DARPA, Urmson's also the figure anointed as leader by the founder of Google's chauffeur self-driving car project, Sebastian Thrun. In fact, Urmson ran day-to-day operations on the team from its founding in 2009 to shortly before the spinning out of Chauffeur from Alphabet into a standalone company known as Waymo in 2016. Finally, Urmson also played a key role in the power struggle that dominated Chauffeur for long periods of its existence. To make this thing work, Urmson has sweated blood. He'd be the first to admit he doesn't have the outright incandescent charisma of some of the other figures in this story. Urmson is smart, sure. He refined his willingness to consider every possible solution to a problem, no matter how outlandish, in the creative thinking challenges that dominated the Canadian educational system's classes for gifted learners. What Urmson lacks is the bumblebee attention span of some of his self-driving colleagues. Perhaps this is because of the milieu in which he was raised. The oldest son of a prison warden and his nurse wife, Urmson grew up in small Canadian cities, Trenton and Eastern Ontario, where the biggest employer is a military base, Victoria, the seat of the British Columbia provincial government, the not exactly bustling metropolis of Winnipeg, Manitoba. His dad was rising through the ranks of the Northern Nations Correctional Services bureaucracy, eventually running not just one prison, but a whole area of them, until the family settled in the sleepiest city of them all, Saskatoon, the capital of Saskatchewan, the least assuming province and one of the least assuming countries of the world. Urmson grew up among people who viewed with suspicion those who drew attention to themselves. What the guy is solid, straight shooting, steady. Urmson is not the guy you're going to notice first when you walk into a room. But you spend enough time with the people in that room, and I don't care who is in there, after a while, Urmson will be the guy you trust to lead, to carry out the plan. And in April 2003, Chris Urmson had a plan. In fact, Urmson thought he had the next couple of years of his life pretty well figured out, as he drove from the remote Chilean city of Iquique to the great salt plains of the Atacama Desert. The road from Iquique into the Atacama would make anyone nervous. It zigs and zags from the Pacific Ocean on up a near-vertical shelf. Those who remember plate tectonics from high school geology might recall that this is where the Pacific's Nazca Plate collides with South America, pushing the continent into the air, creating a ridge thousands of feet high and a rain shadow that runs 600 miles up and down the Chilean coast. That rain shadow is the Atacama. One of Earth's most forbidding landscapes, the driest nonpolar desert on the planet, an area so desolate that scientists use it as a stand-in for Mars. That was what Urmson was doing there. He was one of a handful of roboticists joining a team of NASA staff members to test a robot designed to crawl across the Martian landscape to seek out signs of life. At 27, Urmson was tall and athletically built, with sandy blonde hair and smiling blue eyes behind round, wire-framed spectacles. He tended to jam a baseball hat so low over his brow that the brim would touch the top of his glasses. Urmson planned to spend about a month in the Atacama. Then he'd return to Pittsburgh, where he was a graduate student in the robotics program at Carnegie Mellon University. He'd write up his dissertation, undergo the grilling every thesis committee is supposed to do,
hopefully get his PhD and then a job, maybe join the faculty of his alma mater's Robotics Institute, home to more robotics brain power than anywhere on Earth, or maybe join one of the startups that occasionally spun out of the university.
In any event, he'd start making money, enough for him and his wife to have the kids they'd been putting off while Urmson finished his studies.